It'll be the last part of John 5. I've preached on it 3 or 4 weeks. What this is saying is that you either are going to believe in the writings of Moses, which is very different from your conscience. Everybody has a conscience. Everybody has a natural law over them. Everybody knows right and wrong. Everybody. So there's not a person on earth that's not guilty from violating their conscience. Could you say amen?
Amen.
There's not a person on the world. I mean, I don't care who you meet, they're guilty. But the reason the law was given to Israel was not that anyone would ever keep it. The reason the law was given was not that anyone should ever keep it. The law was given as a schoolmaster to show how you don't know anything.
Amen.
It's to make you guilty. In fact, it's exceedingly guilty. In other words, conscience only tells you what you just did is wrong, or what someone else just did to you is wrong. That's all the conscience says. It doesn't tell you how many gods there are. It doesn't do a lot of things. It just says there's right and wrong. It's all it says. But you don't know how to define it. You don't know how to define right and wrong. God is right, you're wrong. But you don't really know what to do with that. It doesn't give you any help. There's no help in the conscience. It's just you know you're guilty. And guilty leads to stress. And stress leads to anxiety. And anxiety leads to disease. And it leads to an unstable life. And that's what the whole world is full of. Your culture is completely dominated by anxiety, stress, and all those problems, darkness and misery. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Because that means the harvest is ripe.
Yes.
It's only the laborers that are few. It's only the laborers that are few. So, Paul, you're a laborer. And Larry, you're a laborer. Barbara, you're a laborer. We're all laborers in the Lord's harvest. And since it's ripe, you can go anywhere in the world, on any street in this city or any city, and meet people that are ready for the gospel. If it's ripe, that means it's ready to harvest.
Amen.
It's ready to put it into the barn. It's ready to gather it. And so don't worry about yourself. This is just the harvest that's out there. And that's why I go all over the world, and I go all over the world because I want to see that that's true. In other words, I know it's true. But I want to see it with my own eyes, and I want to hear, and I want to say something and do something, whatever God says. And so the only reason I go is because I've been sent by God to... sent by God from heaven to be a gift to you.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
So even though we're naked today and so on and so forth, you know, I don't even worry about that. I would preach if only Peggy were here. I'd do that at home. And we have a lot of discussions about that. And so, but I'm having a ball. I'm the happiest person, as far as I know, on the earth. I'm exceedingly happy. Now, I could have somebody that's equally happy, like Jackie. Are you exceedingly happy?
Very.
Very, yeah. And like Larry, are you exceedingly happy?
Yes.
Amen. And like Paul, exceedingly happy. And Jeff. I don't concentrate so much on ladies, because you're a picture of the church. You're a picture of the church. So every lady, for any lady, girl, whatever, they're precious in God's sight. And the Bible calls them the weaker vessel. But that, all that means is they're if you need a door open for you, a man will do that. if you need a chair, move to the other room. Let a man do that. That's all it means. Weaker doesn't mean she sinned first. Weaker just simply means there are certain things that men are able to do that it's easy for a man to lift that box or, you know, fix the car or whatever. But it's harder for women. And so that's all it means. But I believe that ladies are a picture of the church, even though they be a Jezebel. I don't care. I don't care about Jezebels. I like Jezebels. Do you pray for Jezebels? Yes. We have a few here, Jezebels, but they're not here today. Because they're Jezebeling. So I don't care about that. But I know one thing. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. We were talking in Dallas last night at a funeral, and also it was great, great funeral. There'll be another one today. I like funerals. They're fun. But they're celebrations. They're celebrations for the body of Christ. But anyway, we were talking, and this man came up to our table, and I've known him for years and years and years. He went here to TCU, and now he's over in Dallas. But he was complaining about his wife. And so Peggy was talking to him, well, you know, you don't know how blessed you are, whatever. I didn't even know what she said, but I heard her talking to him. And he was saying, well, she lied to me and talked, like, golly, what a unique thing. That is awesome. Never heard that before. And so they're kind of like split right now. And so, I want to go and replace that guy and talk to his wife, you know, but I don't do it. I just wait on God. If God, you know, says now, I'll do it, but I won't say it unless God blows through the wind and says, now, say this. But we can pray at any time. So you can pray for people, forgive people, love people, bless people all the time in prayer. You don't even have to be next to them. You don't have to be with them. But there's no such thing as a woman that doesn't lie.
Or a man.
Yeah, right. But I'm just talking about women right now. I'm just trying to say I don't want to teach women except to tell the gospel, the good news. That's all. Because they're the church, and Jesus guarantees it. He guarantees that what he began, he will surely complete.
Amen.
So if he makes a promise to you and you believe it, that touches your heart. That's a relationship. That's not religion. There's no religion to this. That's a total relationship that Jesus promised something rather than commands something. Amen. Jesus does not command. Say that. Jesus does not command. Every command that Jesus has ever given only related to one person, Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? So the law was completed by Jesus. So there's no more command for Israel. There's no more command to you. Unless you voluntarily say, I want to serve you, then, you know, you've bound yourself as a slave. And to be a slave to all other people on earth, can't pick and choose, just to be a slave means you have no will of your own, you have no mind of your own, you have no emotions of your own, you have no behavior of your own, you just let Jesus do it. Yeah. For you, in you, through you. For you, in you, through you. For you, on the cross, in you, right now, and through you, as these last days come to a close. Now, because of time, God will shorten the time at the last millennium. He'll shorten the time, he said. So since he's going to shorten the time, you're already in the 7,000th year, and there ain't no more. There's not going to be any more. This is it, and then he sets up the new heaven and the new earth. Are you aware of what I'm just saying? So the millennium is not really a millennium. It's just during the time of the millennium. But the What really happens is after that, Israel will be destroyed, and after that, then they'll be delivered, and after that. And so whenever God destroys a nation, he always delivers them. It's like going to war with America. As soon as America blows you up and does all that kind of stuff, he'll come back and rebuild your nation. Did you ever see that? Yeah. I mean, if I were a nation, I would make war on America right away. And they have to then blow you out of the saddle, and then all of a sudden come, and because all the Christians and all those people are nice, they help to build your nation back up. Now, that's not the purpose of a nation, but that's what I would do if I was a country. So wise is Iran and everything else, because after we slaughter you, then we also deliver you. Every time God judges someone, there's always good news in it. Always see through the judgment to see the mercy, to see the power of Almighty God on everybody's behalf. Now, there'll be a remnant, but it'll be innumerable. There will be a remnant of Christians. In other words, the majority will perish. But a remnant, whatever that is, it's innumerable. So you can't even say how many there are. You don't even know because you can't number them. They're in the maybe billions, maybe trillions. I don't have any idea. Who cares? I just trust God on that because it's in the Word. Now, today we're going to talk about the Scripture. Everything that you have from God is one thing. Everything that you have from God is one thing. And your whole life is spent meeting Jesus. Your whole life is spent meeting Jesus. So how many people don't? A whole bunch. A whole bunch of people don't. I was headed in that direction, but then Jesus arrested me some time. I was at a church school, and they preached Jesus and so on. It had no meaning to me at all, had no relevance to my life, and I never believed it even for a second, for a moment. And then I graduated from college, and then I went to seminary. And the only reason I went to seminary, I really don't know why I went to seminary. I don't know, but I don't know. I think I went because it was the easiest job in the world to be a preacher. All you have to do is preach for an hour every Sunday. Of course, I go for an hour and a half, but all you have to go is for an hour. But today we'll have to break short because the funeral. But nevertheless, I like preaching because if you have the truth, share it.
Amen.
If you have the truth, live it. If you have the truth, love it. I love teaching. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I asked Peggy, Peg, do you feel like I'm a man of God sent from heaven? She thought about that. No. Well, you need to think about that. Because I am. Could I hear hallelujah? Well, you can just make it up. Because I believe that actually God rescued me out of the fire, rescued out of the fire, and then one day I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a God, Jesus was his son, and to the death for me. One day, that's it. That's it. And after that, I've been happy ever since. I've never been unhappy ever in my whole life. Before, I was happy being a hedonist, being a, you know, intellectual and all that kind of junk. But I never turn back. I don't believe in morality. I don't believe it's just witchcraft. I don't believe in man being at his best state. As best state, man, it says, is vanity. Altogether vanity. Man at his best state, religious, moral, nice. Now, I can't preach that because I know no one can hear it, even though you heard the words. You can't hear that because you're actually, you can't distinguish between you being nice in the flesh and you being nice in the spirit. You can't hear that unless you have a new heart. And if you have a new heart, you don't need to hear it because you can see it. If you have a new heart, you can just see it. But the person doing it can't judge themselves. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. You cannot judge yourself. All you can say is you still have a few sins left. That's all you can say. If you're a Christian, you still have a few sins left. And Jesus does that deliberately, not to humble you. It's just simply to you to realize he isn't ready for the donum totum. He's only doing the dotum partum. in Latin. So donum partum means you get the partial gift now, and still, but you still have sins. And he leaves you that way, not because it humbles you. He just leaves you that way so you realize you ain't God, and God is, and you're just a person. And you can just be yourself because there's nothing you can do to help yourself. There's nothing you can do to clean up the world. I've never been into cleaning up the world. I've never wanted to help anybody, want to do anything, and so on. It's just Jesus that does it. The same Jesus that loved me now loves the whole world, and he does it through me. He does it with me. He wants to kill me first before he uses me to love others. Do you hear that? So men are always guilty. This is why I'm talking about women. Now I'm going to talk about men. All men are guilty because nobody ever has obeyed what it says in the Bible. As Christ loved the church, so every man must, shall love his wife. It's easy. That destroyed my marriage right away. When I read that, I went, whoa, I haven't done that. I haven't loved Peggy with all my heart and soul and strength. I haven't done anything like that. And if I do it, you better do it, God, because I don't think I can do that. You'll have to kill me, and then you'll have to resurrect me. Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
So the problem today is all Christians are soulish. They're just living from the soul. They just behave. They're just behavioral modification, which education is all about. Government is all about. Everything's all about it. Today, the biggest thing in government is psychology. Psychology is witchcraft. You began in the spirit, now you end in the flesh. You began in the spirit, now you're ending in the flesh. Well, so you can teach people that this is the way to behave. It's just behavioral modification. It's another control group thing on people. There is no such thing as psychology. Totally 100% man-made. No, I've destroyed another golden calf in your life. Whatever you learned in school was a lie. Whatever you learned in school was the opposite of the Bible. The Bible wants you to be a spiritual man, not a flesh-born man.
Amen.
And the Spirit is the power on earth. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it is so powerful. It's so powerful. All the power is in this word because the Holy Spirit wrote this word. This Bible here was written by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Men wrote down the words, and the Holy Spirit's the only one that can interpret those words for you so that it's always good news. So for me, everything in the Bible is a promise. Everything in the Bible is a promise. I've done this a million times, but I'm going to do it again. Let's say, just take the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. How many have done that? You love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Just raise your hand. Bill. Okay, that's a secret. Bill's got the secret. The secret is he did it by faith.
Yep.
The secret is you did it by faith. You didn't really do it because Jesus did it for you.
Amen.
When he died on the cross, so you don't have to die. So you can actually do it the way Bill did it. You just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Because it's true, but you did it by faith. But you didn't do it by sight. You don't yet see it. So you don't yet see it. So that's your husband. You know, your husband. You don't see it. You want to see it. Don't. Don't see it. Just say it. Because God said it.
Amen.
He's your blessed husband. Just love him the way he is. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see a sign. You don't want to see a little cloud in the sky. Just believe God. When God says something, that's it. Powerful. So everybody here is a new creation. What for? Because Jesus died for you. When Jesus died for you, you're dead. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been crucified. It's no longer I that live. So that I is gone. There's no longer an I named you. There's only Christ in you and you in Christ. That's the new creation. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. If Christ is living in me, what is he going to do? He pierced all the way through to my very soul, my very innermost spirit. He pierced all the way through with that sword, which is law and gospel. That sword I know I'm guilty, and so I run to Jesus. I know I'm guilty, but I'm not just guilty a little bit. I'm guilty to the hilt. To the hilt. That's why that sword has to go all the way to the hilt. Has to go all the way down. In other words, if you're going to sin boldly. Now, I'm not encouraging you. I'm not encouraging you because you're going to do it anyway.
That's right.
So I don't need to encourage you because sin is just, you get angry. How many have anger? How many have lust? How many have bitterness? How many have jealousy? How many have, you know, you have all those things. You don't even need to number them. If there's a million of them, you've got them. So it doesn't matter. But everything is an idol to us today. And all education is just creating you as a totalitarian state, period. And we're fighting for it here in Texas. But most of America, just they don't really care about it. They don't care about it. So, you know, and even the Texans are corrupted easily. They believe in all this junk and nonsense. They're just Democrats in a kind of a light fashion. So there's no difference between the one view and the other view. They call themselves progressives because they're more honest than we are. Yeah, we're progressives, as though man could improve himself. They're fixing the world. And they're both ministering to their base because it's a race to the end. Who's going to win? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. God's already won.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no race to any end. 2020, next year, 2020, is supposed to be the end of the, this is all recorded. It's all known by our officials. The caliph for the Muslims will rule America next year, 2020. So I'm going to go to one of those countries in a couple weeks. I'm going to go to one of those countries where it's the most fierce. And there are mosques everywhere and so on and so forth. And it's a Christian nation, but there are mosques in all the middle of it. How many know that that's always where Jesus puts his church, right in the middle of the world?
Amen.
Right in the cities, right in the most noisy, wicked place. Did you ever notice that about God? He always, you know, he's always trying to, you know, put his people in a troublous way. In the world you have trouble. Say, in the world you have trouble. Have you noticed that the trouble that's in the world? Thank God it's not in us, but it's in the world. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I mean, that's me. Yahoo! No, that kind of good cheer. You all seem sober.
Yeah.
You seem sober. This is good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Be of good cheer. No matter how much trouble there is, fret not because of evildoers. Because they're everywhere. They're in your family. They're in your neighbors. They're your enemies declared. But they're in you too. Isn't that funny? You even have some of those in you. You have demons in you. You have monsters. Yahoo! Do you know the Bible, I think Psalm 70-something or other, has this thing about we're beasts before God. I'm sorry. Just go in Scripture. And so, now, here's the deal. I want to conclude the sermon. I'm going to not conclude, but I'm going to say the conclusion right now. If you have believed the writings of Moses. If you have received the writings of Moses. In other words, he doesn't say it that way. This is what he says. If you believe the writings of Moses, then what? Then what? How can you hear my words? If you believe the writings of Moses, that's the thing that everything is predicated upon. That is the nominative case. If you actually believe the writings of Moses, how can you then hear my words? How can you believe my words? Believe. You're either going to believe the writings of Moses or you're going to believe Jesus' word. That's so clear. In other words, the problem with Israel, just Israel, the problem with Israel is that they believe the writings of Moses. That's the yoke of bondage. That won't go. You can't go to heaven because you can't keep the law.
Right.
No one has ever kept the law. And they did it, as Bill said, they did it by faith. And God winks at that. You know, he winks at anyone that does it by faith, because you didn't do it from the heart and the soul and the strength, and you didn't love your neighbor as yourself. Could you say amen?
Yeah.
You didn't do it. You never did it, because you cannot do it. Even if you tried real hard to keep the law, you cannot do it. It's impossible. So God does the impossible. You can only do the possible. Possible means guilt. In other words, everything you do will make you guilty. You're no longer innocent. Adam and Eve sinned, that's it. And all of their progeny, all of their people are all sinners. So Adam and Eve set the mark. But another mark came along, Jesus, and he's the second Adam. And so he's now producing a whole race of people that are neither Jew nor Gentile or anything. They're nothing. They're just new creations. But you've been born again. Woo!
Yeah.
That's too powerful. Yeah. You've been born again. It's not that you're thinking you'll be born again, because it has nothing to do with you. Your behavior doesn't change this at all. Bad, good. Bad and good are irrelevant. Bad is the same as good, because you did it. So anything you can do sends you to hell.
Yeah.
Hades. Lake of fire. So since you can do nothing, and you got to get this down. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you got that down?
Yeah.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're not in relationship with me, if you're just in relationship with yourself and others, you perish. Is that not clear?
Yeah.
If you believe in the writings of Moses, how can you believe in my word? He is the word of God. The writings of Moses are written words, and they lead you to the living Christ, because if you try to do what he said to do, you'll fail. You'll be an utter failure. And everybody here is looking for happiness, and you never found it. Everybody here is looking for happiness, and you never found it. There's only misery. And the only light there is you. The only salt there is you. The only dwelling place of the living God is you. You're it. You're the whole hope of the world. Isn't that pitiful? That's pitiful, because God's just using us to renew the world. Isn't that exciting? You're the first fruits of the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits, and you're the first fruits of the first fruits. In other words, you're the fruit of God, because you didn't produce yourself. He made you. The one that made your first heart, and that's been ruined now. There's no light in that. It's all darkness. The whole world is dark. The whole world is dark. And God could judge the world any day. He's just waiting around till he's ready to have Jesus come back. But he won't come back until Israel is destroyed. And the second she's destroyed, he'll come back and deliver the righteous. There'll be righteous Israel that will escape all of the problems. Righteous Israel, don't worry about it. You can't even number them. You can't. You can't number them, because they're innumerable, and they're going to inherit the earth, and the land will be given back to them. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father himself has fixed. It's the last days. So we're in the last days right now. We're not in them, but we're rehearsing being in them. We're almost there. But there's still a few things that God has to clean up. And so he's getting all the sin out of my sister. All the sin. Is all the sin gone?
Yes.
By faith?
By faith.
Yeah. Someday you'll see it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it, Christian. Was that hard? It was so easy. Jeff, all the sin has been forgiven. All the sin's being cleansed. But it hasn't yet. You can't see it yet. You know it's forgiven because of his death. But what you don't know is, because of his life, it's not in heaven. His life is not in heaven sitting next to the Father. His life is in your heart. That he is right in your heart. And what does that give you? That gives you an incredible, you're a new creation. You don't even know what you can't do and can do, because Jesus does it for you and in you and then through you. And then when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father. So your little life is so powerful in this world, And God is totally counting on his church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her, it, whatever.
Amen.
And so, if the gates of hell will not prevail, they lose, we win.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
You could then sing for the rest of your life, and I plan to. You could then sing praise to God. Thank you to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah! You can just do that all the time. Peggy doesn't like that, so I don't do that in the morning when I wake up. But,
Danny does.
She wants to get a little more winks of sleep. But, you know, I bound out of bed and I'm ready to go because I want to read the Bible again. I want to look at that Bible. I want to read what I have to say. And God speaks to me every single day. I don't care about the single, but I mean I hear the Lord all the time. Why? Because I'm a pastor sent from God. And you have the ability as a Christian to hear from God directly. You don't need to do the pastor thing. Skip the pastor. You don't need a pastor. You yourself are a child of the living God. Male, female, don't make any difference. So God is ready to renew this earth and, just do whatever he says. Don't think about it. Don't feel it. Don't want to do it. Just do it. And if you just do it, he'll multiply it. Every time you do the will of God, he'll multiply it. And we'll read that next week when we read the sixth chapter. Because next week, you'll feed the 5,000, and then that's 5,000 just men.
Yeah.
And then there were all of the, and they were in 50s, you know, so there were 100 groups of 50s. But then there's the women, and the little lad with, you know, two loaves and fishes and stuff, he was there too, or two fishes and five loaves, whatever he had. Whatever he had, he multiplied it. And there were 12 baskets full after it was all over. And everyone was full to the brim. And everyone said, wow, I've had enough. And then they took away 12 baskets full. And he only had 2 and 5. That's it. That's all he had. But Jesus can multiply anything in your life till you are blessed beyond measure. Why do I do that? It wakes people up. It does wake people up. And when you preach in Africa, if you don't preach like that, nobody's going to listen. And so it's awesome. Can you do that? You could, but you're not going to. So God is good. Has he blessed you, Walter?
Yes. Hallelujah!
Yeah. You can do it.
Here.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it.
You're up here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a lie. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We're all the same. We're all in the same boat. Everybody's in the same boat. Now, we have the good news. I don't know about the church next door. You know, I don't know what they have. But they probably are making provision for sin. Okay, don't judge them. Pray for them. Love them,
okay.
You know, because they don't know the truth. No one's mentored them. You know, they're born again, but they end up in the flesh. They're born again, but they end up in the flesh. That's amazing. But all they need is someone to preach and live before them in such a way that they see, you got it. I heard God when you spoke. I saw God when you acted. Wow, that's all. So it's easy. You don't have to do anything. You just be yourself. And God does all the work. You never did a lick of work, and you'll never do a lick of work because that's how much God loves you. He don't want you to work. You've been born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You know, so just you're nourished by God, and you have a glass of, you know, blood, you know, whatever you have to drink, and there it is. He now nourishes and feeds the whole world. You are everything. Don't worry about understanding the Bible. You're never going to understand the Bible with your mind, with your will, with your emotions. No one ever has and never will, ever. This Bible is totally from outer space. This Bible is not from here. It came because Jesus Christ has come and delivered the Jews. Now, let's read the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 28. I'm going to read fast. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, dead people, shall hear his voice. Wow, that's literally true. And shall come forth, they that have done good, which is nobody, unto the resurrection of life, which is nobody, unless you do it by faith. And they that have done evil, which is unbelief, unto the resurrection of damnation. So, since no one can do it, I want you to understand this. This is very hard for me to teach. I wish I could teach it and you'd understand it. When God sent Jesus, he stayed with him and he was with him. The whole Godhead was within Jesus, right? And so when Jesus did something, he didn't. The Father did it through the Son. So if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he was able to speak in a weird way. And you're a Christian, and you know that when you speak, you should speak Jesus' words, not your own. Well, let me be honest. Don't ever be honest. I know everybody is. Everybody here is an honest person. Well, you want to be. You're lying, because honesty binds you. Honesty never frees anybody. But truth, biblical truth, scriptural truth will set you free. So you can be in bondage, not a problem. We only look for people that are sinners. And since that's everybody, it's easy to witness to your neighbors. And you can do that in a thousand ways, and God will tell you what you have to do. But don't worry about it, because there's nothing you need to do. It's just be yourself. Amen. You know, go to work every day and do whatever you do and so on. And be excellent whatever you're doing. Just try your best. But God is not going to judge you by your works. He'll judge nobody by their works. Everyone thinks that he'll judge you by your works because it says in the Bible he'll judge you by your works. He won't judge you by your works, even though it says he will. It's a trick. What he means when he judges you by your works is the works only prove that your heart is right with God. He only judges the heart. God only judges the heart. Say, the heart. All God's doing is judging your heart, because the secret things belong to God. He knows the secrets of your heart. He knows the secrets of your soul. You cannot fool him. He knows everything about everybody, and he loves you just the same. Amen. He knows everything. And he's not disturbed by anybody's sin. Have you committed the unforgivable sin? Yes. The unforgivable sin is that you didn't believe that after I sinned, God would forgive me. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
The unforgivable sin is that you wouldn't believe that after I've sinned against God and against my neighbor and against myself, that he would forgive you. Forgiveness is for everybody. It's in Christ. Christ did not come to judge the world. He came to set the world free forever and ever. Yeshua, it's in the Old Testament, means salvation, is his name. Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus, same thing. So he only came to save the lost, the wicked, everybody. He didn't come to save nobody, because everything that you have ever done will not be judged. You'll be judged by Jesus' own work on your behalf. You'll be judged by Jesus' perfect work. He's the perfect sacrifice. And, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, Jesus said. I can of my own self. Remember, he's Son of Man now. He's not Logos in heaven. He's Son of Man. But he is actually Logos in heaven in that Son of Man. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. In other words, I can do nothing of myself, but as I hear God, I judge. I don't do it on my own. I'm not the judge. But as I hear God, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. He's a slave of God. But the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, this is so powerful. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That's in the law. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness, he's talking about the Father, which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John the Baptist, and he bare witness to the truth, because he said, I'm not the Messiah. That's what he said. I receive not the testimony from men, but these things I say to you, that you might be saved. That's the whole purpose of this book of John. The whole purpose is right there. Everything I've written in this book is to get you to be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Phos, P-H-O-S, photizo. It's another word to enlighten someone. He's the only light of the world. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works, that is what I do. Bear witness to me, so that the Father hath sent me. Now you know that the Father sent me, because I'm going to finish his works. Nobody knew what he's talking about. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, you Jewish people. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. So he's now indicting the Jewish people. You now have heard him, and faith cometh by hearing, but you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything because you didn't see Jesus. And Jesus is everything, because Jesus is the one that does what you were supposed to do, but you didn't. So Jesus did everything that you're to do, so now you're righteous because of what he did, because he did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He came in the Father's name, in the Father's name. This is not him. The Father was working through Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the Father is actually in Jesus. It's not me that does good works. It's the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. And now he's done that to you so that you don't do good works, but Jesus does the good works, throw you, in you, for you, everything. It's all for the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? That's who you are. Your identity is no longer, you know, this race or that race. There's no such thing as race in the Bible. There's no word of race in the Bible. You're a man, male, female. You're a man, or what? You're an animal, or you're a plant, or a tree, or something. No. God did all of this not for plants and animals and everything else in the world. He did this for you. He made you especially to be a servant. And so all of you are servants. Say, I am.
I am
a servant of the living God, and I want to live for him. Do I want to? No. Do I understand it? No. Do I feel it? No. You don't have to feel anything. It's just by faith. So you just say it by faith. Yes, that is me. Yes, that is. You always go by what God said, not by what you said. Amen. You don't go by what you said. Well, I don't know. You know, don't be honest. Don't say something. Well, I don't know. I've never liked you. You know, I've always hated you. And you know, people say that. A lady last night, not that same guy, but at the same table, he said, I wish I hadn't married you. But she has several children and so on and so forth. The children are enough to keep you together. Hello? Yeah. Even though the man is no good. So what? And the guy is sitting right next to me, and his wife is on the other side of me. And said, I've told him many times, I wish I had not married you. That's one of those things you only do in your house. You know, you don't do it in public. You don't do that in public. But she was being honest, because she had just come back from a big reunion of their family, about 100 people met in another state. And she'd just come back from that. She was pretty pumped up. So she said that, yeah, I've always told him I hate him. I wish I hadn't married you. But that's just to, you know, grind him down.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? How maybe women are shorter and not so strong, but they're pretty good with their tongue. Don't you love that? Don't you love that as men? It's good to have a wife that's real like that. But they go to hell. Unless you love that wife like Christ loved the church. That's what God, that's what men are for. Men are to be servants. Every man is to be a servant. What I'll say in South Sudan is you are not real men. And these are guys that are about 6'5", 7 foot something. These are the Watutsis. These are the real tall guys. And I'm going with three guys. One is a policeman, by the way, from America. The other is the pastor. He's from that land. And the other one is a man that's paying for the whole thing. So that is really neat, because they're gonna take care of me, because I have to look up with him like this. Because they're huge guys. You don't want to mess with them. So you might think that this country I'm going to is dangerous, because it says so in the book. You know, you have to have all these things and so on and so forth. I'm going because God said go. And so I have something to say. I will speak to 50 members of parliament. 50 members. I'm going to speak to churches and all that kind of stuff. But I'm really going to speak to the parliament, because I know they're corrupted as all get out. So is America. So is every nation on earth. They're all corrupted. Everybody, yahoo! Isn't that exciting? That's a real mission statement right there. Because you have a mission among parliament people. Because they're all corrupt and they don't know how to get out. So you can just preach the word and they'll listen to the word. I guarantee you at least 3 out of the 50 will come to Jesus. They'll repent right there on the spot. I don't need to wait for it. I just know someone will hear. And they will change their life. How did they change it? Don't change it. Let Jesus change it. The Lord will speak to them as they're listening. They'll hear God. They won't hear they won't hear me. So this thing ends this way. He, I received not testimony from man, but these things I say to you that you might be saved. He was a burning, verse 35, and a shining light, phos. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, not John. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me, because he's with me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You don't know what he looks like. And you have not his word abiding in you. Isn't that that's an indictment right there. And you have not his word abiding in you. You have his word, but you don't even understand it. For whom he hath sent, him you do not believe, which is me. Search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. Zoein. And the conjunction in this sentence is A-L-L-A-H, Allah. It means on the contrary, but on the contrary. In other words, you don't give me honor, you don't receive me, you don't want to hear my words, but as they, the scriptures that bear witness to me. Everything the scripture says is Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all it says. The only hope of mankind is Jesus. Can you imagine a God that loves you would send his own son downstairs to be killed so that you don't have to die? He sent Jesus to shed his blood so that you don't ever have to worry about death. Even if you die biologically, you will not die spiritually. He sent this here for you to hear forever. There's nothing you can do to help him. You cannot cooperate with him. You can't do anything. Let me help you, Jesus. He doesn't want to hear those words, because he already knows that's a lie. You just deceived yourself. You didn't deceive me, but you deceived yourself, because I can see right through you. You have a heart full of darkness. How many know that when you're born again, you have a new heart, but not yet a new body and a new soul? You don't have that until he comes back again. You don't have that right now. So he's doing that for you realize you're not God. Search the scriptures, for you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that testify of me. Everything in the Old Testament testifies of Jesus. And you will not come to me so that you might have eternal life. So life is a person. Life is not a law. Life is not a law. It's not something you'd have to do. You can't do the law. He gave the law so that no one could do it except Jesus. He gave the law so that no one can do it. All you have to do is have faith that Jesus did it for you. Can you check it out? No. There's no way you can check it out. So how does it come? I don't know. It's just the power of the word. Just the power that you read this word and it'll save Muslims. It'll save Hindus. It'll save Buddhists. The problem is we don't want to go to those places, but that's the only thing that'll save anybody. You just preach the word and it works. You're a teacher, Barbara, and you know those little kids listen to you. They're like hearing God because they're like, they don't know anything. And so they're listening to you and saying, whatever she said, I'm going to do it. More than the parent. They're listening to you to teach them the truth that'll set them free. Why? Because they're looking for people that have boldness. Boldness. It's something that you're bold to walk up to people and say, I know you're going to perish, so I'm here to, I want to prevent that. I don't want you to perish. I want you to hear the truth, nothing but the truth. Whole truth, nothing but the truth. And when you do that, it always works. There's never been a time that the word has gone forth and it has not accomplished what God intended, not what you intended. What you intended was to save everybody. Well, that's not going to happen. Nobody can save everybody. That's only Jesus' job. So you can save some. And if you get one, that'd be great. Two, that would be like, wow. And if you got three, that would be enormous. Did you realize today, if every Christian in the world, just Christian in the world, would witness to two people, the whole world would be one for Jesus. However, it doesn't work that way. I'm just saying, one out of three people is a Christian, but probably nominal. That is, still lukewarm, pleasing the flesh, making provision for sin. So that's the way it is. So it's not going to happen the way I just said. It's going to happen when Jesus comes back and Jesus displays himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No longer the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, first coming. Now the second coming, he is King of Kings, and he came with vengeance on the wicked. Destroy the wicked, and the rest, all that's left is you. All that's left is you. Once he destroys the devil and all his hosts, the Antichrist and so on and so forth, and it'll be just done in a second. Once he does that, then everyone is where they belong eternally, except the devil. The devil himself will be in the bottomless pit. There's all kinds of things downstairs that you don't know about. And everyone is buried under the ground, even if you're in a mausoleum. You're called underground. That is Hades. So, but he will be in that tube, and then he comes out, and we're already in heaven at that moment, because we just married Jesus. And he comes and surrounds the camp of the saints. And you know what happens? There's so much holiness there that he realizes, uh-oh, I couldn't tempt Jesus, I can't tempt these people. Jesus has now multiplied himself. And all these Christians, they're innumerable. And I can't do them either. Fire will come out of heaven, destroy the devil. He'll immediately, right, no judgment at all. He'll just right go right into the lake of fire. Are you aware of that? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm just saying, read the Bible every day because it will convict you of sin. Well, every day you can be convicted of sin, and all you have to do is confess it. I did lie. I did exaggerate. I was angry at that person. I wanted to kill him. You just confess your sin. Don't say, I won't do it again. Don't say any of that. That is nonsense. God knows that you're lying. So just say, I did lie. Use the Bible words. I was a slothful person. I love that. I was lascivious. I don't know what it means, but I was lascivious. just say it to God, because he doesn't want you to pretend like you're not a rotten, no good person. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Because one sin will keep you out of heaven. One, just one sin, one spot, one wrinkle, one blemish, one stain, everything keep you out of heaven. So that's why God rigged it up so that you couldn't even fix four of them. You couldn't do 10 of them. You can't do anything. So let him do it all. Let him do it all. Because it's just a free gift. Everything in the world is free. Everything in the world is free. Even though you're bound today, don't be bound by the government. Don't be bound by people. Just be bound by God. And say, you know what? I'm going to start loving my neighbor. I only have a few hours left. I only have a few days left. I have a few months left. I have a few years left. I'm going to just witness to everybody I meet without shame. You know why people don't do it? Because they don't want to suffer. They don't want to be hated by people. Keep that religion to yourself. Don't you love that? I know that I I communicated with them because they said that. Keep that religion to yourself. So I irritated you, obviously. But that's good, because at least they heard the gospel and saw it. They don't want anyone preaching to them. So the whole world hates preaching today. The Christianity's on the way out. We're in a post-Christian, post-modern world, post. So what? God made that the last church, Laodicean Church. And you have to divide your soul from your spirit. If you don't divide your soul, soulish won't go to heaven. Soulish will not go to heaven. Only spirit. You have to be a spirit. God is a spirit. You have to be a spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. You are sons of God forever. That's it. What did you do? Nothing. I didn't do anything. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
It's so freeing that you don't have to do a thing to please God. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Why? Because you are yourself. You are exactly yourself, and you're exactly like other people. There's nobody ever different than anybody else. This race thing is a silly thing. You're racist and so on and so forth. There is no race. There's only three families, sons of Noah. Noah and his three sons. They've all been blessed by God. Whatever God blessed, you will never, ever curse. God cannot curse those he has blessed. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. And you will not come to me that you might have life, because it's in a person. It's not in a law. I receive not honor from men, but I know you. This is a very interesting word, ekoneto. But I know you, that word, ekoneto, that you have not the love of God in you. Talking to the Jewish people. I am come in my Father's name. You receive me not. Being very blunt here. Another shall come in his own name. Him you will receive. The Antichrist. How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Go ahead. Follow Moses. But you can't, because he said another prophet God will raise up. Listen to him. You're not listening to me. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? If you believe not, how shall you cannot believe my words, unless you believe that the Jewish scriptures were meant to be so powerful that everyone would realize, I can't do it. The minute you say, I can't, that's the minute you're saved. The minute you say, I can't, that what he wants to hear from you is, I can't do that, God. I can't love my neighbor, and I don't even love you that much. That much? You don't love him at all. God wants perfect, and you can't do perfect. He reserved that to himself. I'll do the perfect, you do the imperfect, and I'll forgive any imperfect man. So when your husband, your wife, your children, when they do wrong, forgive them, love them. Just be blind. Who's blind but my servant? Everyone here is blind to everybody else's sin. You don't see it. Just keep loving them.
Amen.
Don't say, oh, you did this. You behaved this way. God is not into behavior. He's into him behaving for you because he kept a promise. And that promise was a covenant and a blood-soaked covenant. He gave that to Abraham, and he's fulfilling that right now. This is the best day to be alive. Are you not excited?
Amen.
Yeah. I can tell you are. I can see that. You say, this is exciting. This is really exciting. Hallelujah! I keep going. I'm excited about being a Christian.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. People are looking at you're weird. Okay. I'll be a fool for Christ, but I'm not a fool.
Amen.
Because God ain't done yet. He's got a lot to do.
Amen.
Right. Would you like to make a shout like that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Is everyone eager for that? Okay, let's have it. I know you're not going to do it, but I'll have it. Pretend like there's a whole church full of people. Hallelujah! Good. By the way, that removes cancer. You probably didn't hear what I just said. That removes cancer if you're like that, really noisy. Because God likes people that just don't care what they sound like, look like, and so on and so forth. Because nothing can come from you anyway except sin and guilt and problems and troubles and unstable lives. But you shout like that, God, you know what that does? It kills your flesh. When you do that, you killed your flesh because you're publicly an idiot. You're just publicly an idiot. And do it. That's why I do it. And Africa, they love it. They just immediately, everyone raises their hand. Thousands of thousands of people, they raise their hand. To anyone here want to receive Jesus, they all raise their hand. I say, no. You have to hit this from your heart. They just raise their hand. They don't care. I like what you said. And they just raise their hand. Muslims, 500 Muslims in Badagry, the very ship that brought all the black people here 400 years ago. 400 years ago, first black landed in America. And they came here not as slaves. They came here as free men, but they were captured by the Muslims who were the traders. They were the Arab traders. Those Muslims sold them and came from Robert's people, by the way, which also spoke Hebrew. And also because Robert is actually from a family that when the Queen of Sheba, Makeda, her name is, when he slept with that one, Solomon was the husband's. His family goes all the way back to Solomon. He was always a black king, but now he became both. And Netanyahu told that to Robert personally. Robert, you do not know that you're a king in Israel. It's like, I never heard that. How can you say that? I don't even look black. How can you say that? So he said to his niece, Denise, I want you to research this to see how far our family goes back. Then he went to Russia, he went to China, he went to all places and met with the government of that people. And they all said, we met your relative years ago. Peter the Great met him. What's that guy that traveled from the east, that sailor, that guy, Marco Polo. Marco Polo, he met him. Everybody met him, and they have statues of him. They're in the British Museum. They're in the Portuguese Museum. They're all over. Wherever he went in the world, he met all of the leaders of the world. This is the day of the black man. This is the day that God evens it all out because he's a just God. So maybe you don't want that. Too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad. So the South will rise again.
Amen.
But it'll be under black people.
Glory.
Woo-hoo! And did you know that in the Republican Party, there is a black man running right now to be in charge, Colonel West. Beautiful man. Talk to him. I love him. This man could be our leader for next year.
Wow. Cool.
So you never know what God, he has a sense of humor. He could raise up people. I would love to see the black man in charge of, you know, the HUD thing. He's in charge. He is awesome. Ben, you know, Ben is awesome. He'd be a great president.
Yeah.
He just speaks so softly and so deliberately. You have to wait a while to hear him. But he's awesome. But he makes powerful decisions because he can separate the Siamese twins. He can do wonders, but he's tender, he's soft, he's not like me. He doesn't yell like I yell, but I love it, I love it. So, hallelujah!
Glory!
All right, who has a testimony? Just two of them.
I'll share real quick.
Yes.